Thank you so much for allowing me to be your speaker. The nine-step promise has come true for me. Fear of people will leave us. So even though I'm a little nervous, I'm not fearful of people anymore. I am going to be 78 years old on the 25th. And when I was reflecting over my life and thinking of all the things that I've gone through in my lifetime, I'm amazed how I got through them sober and abstinent, because my God walked me through them. And so I don't remember much about my childhood. A lot of it is blocked out, I think, from trauma, and I just blocked it out. But I do remember that our household was very loud and dysfunctional. And my dad was an alcoholic, and my mom yelled at him continually, which gave me the issue of abandonment right off the bat, because I thought he would leave us. And there's five of us children, and I was in the middle, and I was the peacemaker and the fixer-upper. And that gave me the issue of people-pleasing, trying to fix everybody and saying nice things about everybody so they would behave. And then in my little baby childhood, I remember being very chubby, and people squeezing my cheeks and saying, "Isn't her cheeks cute?" And then when I got in to be a teenager, I started restricting. And my diet go around. In high school, I remember when they came out with a diet beverage in our machine that had beverages in the high school, and I saw a diet one in there, and I thought, oh well, I'm all set. Now they got diet beverages I can drink, and so that started my dieting and my restricting. I didn't want to be heavy like my mom, and I swore I would never be heavy like my mom. And so all through my 20s and 30s, I went to diet clubs every time I gained 3 or 4 pounds. And I got married when I was 21 and had 2 children and lived on a farm. And worked at the courthouse, and thought I was so much better than my husband because I made more money, and he was just a farmer. And so my uppity attitude was born. And so I continued to restrict, and through my 20s and 30s, I joined group after group to lose pounds and gain more back. And but mostly I was restricting. I didn't want to gain any weight. So I left my husband, and a year later I joined AA. Part of the marriage was broken up because of my drinking. And so I joined AA and became sober. And in January, I celebrated 35 years. And so, and then I was single. I was single and could do whatever I wanted. I had a daughter in the 10th grade. And she was always walking on the streets, and I didn't care. I was just in my drinking. And so I left my husband and could do whatever I wanted. I didn't start over, become a compulsive overeater until I was in my 50s. And I stopped restricting and started eating. And I ate and ate and ate, and that was my whole life, was my eating. So I I gained weight in my 50s and gained weight in my 50s and went to diet clubs and groups, and the most years I was in diet groups was Weight Watchers for years and years and years and years. And like I said, I would gain weight, gain more back, lose weight, gain more back. And it was just a squirrel cage. I was living in a squirrel cage, and was single all this time, and just going to my meetings and trying to get healthy. Little did I know that my eating was a problem. I just thought I liked to eat. I had no idea what a compulsive overeater was. I never heard that term ever. Compulsive overeater, what is that? So I just ate my way through all those years. Like that we were talking about freezers before the meeting, and I had a freezer in the basement, and I used to go down there and so I could hide and eat down in the basement. And I would get up at night and sit and eat. It would be fruit, but it would be tons of fruit. And so, and when about 7 years ago, I tried to commit suicide. I had dreamt. I also have a mental illness. And in my mental illness, I dreamt that God had left me. And so I got up and took pills and pills. I took the whole bottle of pills, and I went to the couch and fell asleep. And my son was worrying because he couldn't reach me. So he told my sister to go over and check on me. And she came and saved me. They said I didn't take enough to kill myself, but my stomach would be damaged, and my kidneys were damaged. I buckled down and went to more meetings and AA meetings, and got through that, and God brought me through all that. If I hadn't had my higher power and my 12 steps, I don't know how I'd have got through all that stuff. But I got through sober, and I had a sponsor in AA who was also in OA. God has a sense of humor. He gave me a sponsor that was in OA because he knew I was going to need both. And so she kept getting tired of listening to me about my diet groups. Every time we talked, I was talking about how much weight I'd gained. And so she said, "Why don't you try OA?" And I said, "What is that?" And she said, "Overeaters Anonymous." I had never heard of it. I had never heard of it. And she said, I said, "Well, I'll try it," thinking that I will go, but I'm not going to listen to that sponsor, and I'm not going to go back anymore. And when I got into my first meeting, I heard the term, and I heard people talk about their stories, and I thought, "Yep, that's me. That is one thing I do just like these people." So I started going, and after my third meeting, I met my sponsor. She does so many outreach calls that she had called me. And I said, "Well, if she calls me back again, that's a message for me to ask her to be my sponsor." And she's been my sponsor for 3 years now. I just had my anniversary, my abstinent anniversary on January 7th. I celebrated 3 years. And so I had my wonderful sponsor for 3 years. She has gotten me through so much. I don't know how she ever puts up with me. But after 30 years of being single, I met a man in AA. He had 40 years, and I had, I think, 30 years at that time. And I married him. I got married at 75. And everybody thought, how wonderful. All the women at AA were and OA were jealous of me. "You mean you can get a man at 75 and we can't find one?" And so, and I loved him so much. We were so happy together. And Lo and behold, he committed a crime. So I was married at 75 and divorced at 76. And so I've been single ever since. We've been divorced 50 a year and a half now. And I went through a grieving period of that during that time. And my sponsor helped me through that. And all the time I've been going to OA and AA and just staying on the right path. My God did not take away all those adversities, but he walked me through them because I learn more in adversities than I do during good times. That's a learning opportunity when I have an adversity. And so I've been going to OA now 3 years. I'm working the steps, which I need to do now because my sponsor does them once a year, and I need to start doing them 12 steps again. I'm not saying my program was perfect because a couple weeks ago I had a slip, and I'm back on track. The 12 steps have saved me there. The 12 steps in the big book are, and fellowship. Fellowship is just as important as the 12 steps to me. Being, reaching out and talking to other women in the program and staying connected. Addiction, the opposite of addiction is connection. And so I stay connected. I call three people a day, go to two meetings, 3 a.m. and 5 a.m., and sometimes at 5 p.m. at night. And I follow my suggestions by my sponsor. I have a wonderful life today, but I didn't get here easily. I have a mental illness, and I was in a psych hospital four times. And I kept saying to myself, why do I have everything? I got divorced. I got mental illness. I got alcoholism. I got over compulsive overeaters, and my sisters and brothers didn't get anything. Blah, 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 blah. Feel sorry for myself. And I can't complain because they don't have the program I have. And there's still a lot of dysfunction going on. My sister called me yesterday and she said to me, you better not be dating again and getting married again. Look what happened to you the last time. I thought, how can she control my life? And because there's a guy in AA who takes me to meetings and stuff, and we're just good friends. I never had a male friend before. I always had boyfriends. And it's so wonderful just to have a male friend. And so my sister informed me that she would not help me if I got started dating. So my family is still dysfunctional. I can't expect anything more. I don't expect them to understand my AA and my OA because unless you're one of us, you don't understand. You just don't understand unless you're one of us. And that's how the Bit Book said that they first found recovery was by one alcoholic talking to another. And so it's one OA person talking to another is how we stay abstinent. And that's what these meetings are for us all to get together and share and to help each other. And so I like to my sponsor has me journal every morning, send in my meal plan and my 10-step inventory. So I'm grateful to her for that because I enjoy doing it. I do it before I even come to this meeting in the morning. I love getting up early in the morning because I have a lot of time to reflect and pray and do my journaling for my sponsor. And so I'm so glad I don't have to eat anymore, and I'm not obsessed with food, and the food disorder I had. I know now what a compulsive overeater is. I relate to a lot of people on this program. A lot of stories are the same as mine. But we're all different, all from a different walk of life in the globe. I mean, when I tell people around here that I talk to someone in Norway or the UK,
You don't have 5 minutes left.
their jaw drops open. How could you be talking to people in Norway, in the UK? It's because of OA. I've met so many wonderful people coming to these meetings. And I am so grateful that my higher power gave me the two programs he gave me to live my life by, because it's a new way of living. It's not a punishment, it's a new way of living. And I'm grateful today that I have both the diseases. And I never thought I'd say that, but I'm grateful today because it gave me a new way of living in a whole new way to live my life. It's all about just living my life right. And when I say I'm upset or someone grinds me the wrong way, I just say the set aside prayer and the sick man's prayer. And I don't have to like everybody, but I have to love everybody. It's all about love. Love is, God is love is what I'm told, and I believe it. And so this meeting and the love that I get from all you people, love me. And they said, we'll love you until you can love yourself. And I thought, I'll never love myself. That's so vain. But today I do love myself. I like the person I've become. And I don't like to be controlled by my sister or anybody, my dysfunctional family. And I'm not gonna, put them down or dwell on their lives and the way they live their lives, because I've walked through that issue already. And I know that I have to do my program. None of them are really proud of me for what I've done or said, you're doing a good job, but I don't expect it's expectations. They are the feeding ground of resentments. So I cannot have expectations today about other people because I end up resenting them. And resentments are the biggest killer of me. I know that food. I went to the doctor the other day and I got a clean bill of health, except she put me on cholesterol pills. I've never been on them before. And I was surprised. But other than that, and I have a bad back, I have good health because I'm not drinking and eating right. It's just taking care of myself. My sponsor says, my AA sponsor says, if you don't take care of yourself, I'm not going to help you or support you. So I have to take care of myself today. And that isn't being selfish. That's just doing what God wants me to do. I read somewhere that God's greatest gift to us is the soul, and the second greatest gift is the body. So I have to take care of my soul and my body. This is a spiritual program. The other programs I belong had nothing to do with spirituality. And it's not religion, it's spirituality. It's being spiritual and living the right way, doing the next right thing. And every morning when I say my prayers, I say, please, God, let me be more spiritual today than I was yesterday. And I have my little prayer book of names of people I pray for every morning. And people call me and ask me to be put on my prayer, on my little prayer list. And so I pray for a lot of people in the morning. I
You
pray a
have
lot.
1 minute left.
I pray a lot during the day. My biggest prayer is God help me and God thank you. And so it doesn't have to be a formal sit down prayer. Prayers can be said all day long. And I am so grateful for this program and for being able to be a speaker, and thank Judy for asking me to speak today. I didn't realize it came so fast yesterday. I thought, oh my gosh, I speak tomorrow. And then Judy was reminding me that, don't forget you speak. I said, I know, I know. And so I got myself ready, and I don't write anything down. I just let my God talked to me through my lips. whatever is said is somehow, I hope, helps somebody else, and that it's a message that they needed to hear. So I'm going to wind up now. My time is up, and I can't believe I talked that long. But anyway, thank you all for listening to me.